and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Justice Department report on the Uvalde, Texas school massacre in 2022 uses the word failure a lot. Failure by police leadership, failure in communication, failure in training. In a nation with more guns than people, Attorney Josh Koskoff, representing 17 families of the 21 people killed, wants to know,
where's the government investigation on how this kid got this firepower? The other thing that happened is he ordered over 1,700 rounds of ammunition from an online ammo dealer. How could that happen? How could that happen? Where's the investigation into that?
No government shutdown this weekend. The Senate and House on Thursday approved the latest short-term funding measure, keeping the government's lights on through early March this time. Ending months of defiance, Hunter Biden agreed to give a private deposition to the House Oversight Committee set for February 28th. This is ABC News. With New Hampshire's primary election this coming Tuesday, Nikki Haley is sharpening her attacks on Donald Trump, who's declared if she wins, Democrats will win up and down the ballot in November.
Look, right now, Congress is getting nothing done. Why? Because there's no majority in the House. There's no majority in the Senate. The infighting is happening because we lost the midterms because of Trump again.
President Biden went south with the Bidenomics gospel, touting infrastructure advancements, $3 billion for high-speed internet in one state.
President Biden traveled to Raleigh, North Carolina Thursday to highlight his Bidenomics economic agenda.
Folks, I'm here today to talk about something that doesn't get enough attention, and that's the progress we're making to invest in America, all of America.
The president specifically touted investments his administration is making to expand access across the U.S. to affordable high-speed internet.
ABC's Karen Travers reporting from Washington. I'm Richard Cantu. ABC News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits West Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House on Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. 1 in 10 teenagers in Wisconsin tried to commit suicide last year. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office for Children's Mental Health. She says teens are under a lot of pressure.
Performing well in high school, getting prepared to go to college. They're concerned about climate change, the proliferation of gun violence, and political divisiveness.
Hall says that the good news is that more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have mental health programs that are led by students. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks in the Motor City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After losing by 40 points to Cleveland, the Bucks head to Detroit to take on the last place Pistons. At 28-13, Milwaukee remains 4 games behind the Celtics for first place in the Eastern Conference. The Pistons have only 4 wins. They're 4-37. Their historic 28-game losing streak ended at the end of December. NFL, Packers, and 49ers. Saturday night in the playoffs. How much can momentum help the Packers this weekend? Jordan Love.
It's huge. You know, I think coming to the postseason, that's been huge for us. Kind of got rolling with those three wins back-to-back-to-back. So, you know, it's huge for us right now, just having that momentum.
49ers veteran Fred Warner on how Jordan Love compares to Aaron Rodgers.
I'll just speak to Jordan Love, and the way that he's playing right now is really great. The things that you see showing up, obviously learned under Aaron, some of the mannerisms and the way that he's operating. He's making the throws, making smart decisions, which is what you want.
That's 49ers linebacker Fred Warner with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory of the overnight, as we'll see wind chills down around 20 below zero at times. Snow will come to an end, not much in the way of accumulation though, and our lows around 5 below zero. On Friday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies, high near 5 above. It's 6 at our studios.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you so much for joining Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and RYPC on the board as we continue our quest for a new nickname for Calvin, our producer. You got to think about it.
Really cool RYP producer Calvin.
What do we call Calvin?
Our producer.
Our resident young person.
Oh, resident young person.
RYPC on the board.
I see you said that with almost like hip-hop intonation.
I'm trying.
RYPC.
Yeah, it's not great, but we have
We have a whole list.
Oh, God. Johnny Watermelon was sitting in with Calvin. He came up with a whole list of potential nicknames, and you can always offer yours up at 844-967-2789, 844-967-PARTY. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, you can always leave a comment there as well. We have a very busy show coming up today. Jimmy Cuska, our own Civic Media colleague, is downtown Milwaukee right now with the 2024 Wisconsin State Education Convention that's going on. He's been attending a whole bunch of workshops, and he's going to give us a report from downtown. Let us know what's going on and what they're talking about as far as schools, public education in Wisconsin. At 11:06, as always on Thursday, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for a public cervix announcement. Mm-hmm. You found a really important article about the inaction on a measure that would expand Medicaid coverage for women the year after they give birth.
Yeah, and I just want to say real quick, this is it will be an extension of conversation we had this morning on Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. But I felt like it was such an important question. I just don't get it. So we're going to have Dr. Lyerly on, and we're going to discuss it. And
those all work.
I want some answers.
I think that's a reasonable request.
Thank you.
Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company joining us at 11:33, talking Packers preview as they get ready to take on the 49ers Saturday night. And then we're going to wrap things up with a weather update, weather and wine. With Brittany Merlot, we have, yes, at least in southeastern Wisconsin, we're looking at another potential 2 to 3 inches of snow, but it's supposed to be the nice, white, fluffy stuff, so hopefully it won't be like it was last Friday.
It's going to fall on everything that's already on my driveway.
Well, and there's some of the roads, the side roads, are still terrible.
Yeah.
And granted, they haven't been able to get anything off the road because it's been frozen solid, but now we're going to get this, like, fluffy stuff all over these icy patches, and so it's going to be tricky driving, I would think, for at least tonight and into tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Brittany will be here to give us an update with that. Right now, we're going to start off, though, and I don't have children, so if you have kids, especially if you have kids in school or grandkids in school, I would love to know your reaction to this, 844-967-2789. Parents would have more authority over what their kids are taught and be given the option to pull their kids out of discussions over gender identity or racism under a GOP-authored bill that went that is going before the Wisconsin Assembly today. It mirrors other similar efforts by Republicans across the country, even though this is likely to be vetoed by Governor Evers, who also struck down a similar bill in 2022. It's called the Parental Bill of Rights. It bars school staff from addressing kids by their chosen pronouns or names without parental consent. Isn't tight. And guarantees parents the right to look over instructional materials and have their kid opt out of a lesson if they disagree with what is being taught. Maybe, because I don't have children, I don't have kids in school, isn't this already in existence? Don't parents already have these kinds of rights when it comes to what their kids are being taught?
Well, as someone who doesn't have a child as well, I think if I'm not mistaken, they have certain abilities to say my child can't learn these things. I think it's usually for religious reasons. So you might not want your kid learning about health in health class because you're religious. But some of these things too just sound like if it's going to make them feel uncomfortable,
I don't want them to be there.
Because what's going to happen is they're going to learn about some kind of history lesson in America. And let's face it, most of them aren't good. They're going to come home and they're going to start asking questions. It's the parents who don't want to deal with it. These kids need to learn these things. They need to learn something.
Well, I always thought knowledge was power.
No.
Knowledge is power. And apparently not. Apparently now knowledge is dangerous.
Well, and
hurtful.
And that's the thing is that this is just to me, it's fear-mongering of the highest order again. And it just says to me, what are you trying to distract us from? Is it your lack of ability to do anything in the state house? Is it some piece of legislation that you're trying to get in at the last second that we don't know about? Like, why are you bringing this up again? Like, this was, what, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, they were trying to do the same thing. And now they're acting like it never happened in the first place. Like, we have this great bill for the parents.
Yeah, it's brand new.
Yeah, we saw it in fall, and it's the same dreck that you've been pulling for a year now. It's, you have nothing to campaign on. You have no legislative agenda
or accomplishments.
So therefore you're just gonna whip up some fear and some support. Why are we doing this? Give me three good reasons why this is important. How are our kids so in danger? We've already realized that drag queens are not the problem.
Not if you look at arrest records.
Yeah. We've also
And I'm very serious about that.
No, and you are very correct. You are very correct. This is just to me classic fear-mongering and the inability to actually just say, this is what we want to do with the state. Even if you don't like it, here's our plan. They got nothing because they never have anything. They never have anything.
AB 510. Would also allow parents and guardians to sue a school district or school official if parents aren't allowed to, again, determine the names and pronouns used for the child while they're at school, look over the instructional materials and outlines used by the school, have access to education-related information or records about the child. Again, aren't these things already in place? Is there a school in Wisconsin where a parent goes and said, I need to see my kid's records. And they say, no, I'm not going to give them to you. You can't.
Or we don't have those. We don't keep those. This reminds me of something else too. They were doing the library law or the bill they were trying to pass in the library where they were saying they were basically just making it harder to be a librarian.
And I think that's, and I really do think, unfortunately, it's about intimidating our teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who educates in any way, shape or form is a threat, and therefore it must be neutralized. And it's, I mean, you know, they're not going to shut down the school, which they would love to do. You know, the GOP lawmakers would love nothing more than shut down public school.
Absolutely.
And make it all private.
Absolutely.
And all religious.
Religious and
taxpayer funded. So they do it this way. They put forth legislation that intimidates, whips up fear, and tries to get teachers to leave or to do less or care less because, like, what am I going to do? My hands are tied.
And I don't want to get sued.
You know?
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can join us, call and or text. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks so much for joining the show. What did you want to say?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, this is an answer to another non-problem, which is very typical of the amount of time our Republicans waste in our legislature, because there have been for 13 years no consequences to them at the voting booth due to the egregious gerrymandering in the state. But as a teacher who's retired now, after over 40 years in public and private and parochial schools, and having taught at levels from sixth grade up to sophomore in college, I have just this very simple question for you. If you have a plumber who's trying to fix your plumbing, or a mechanic who's trying to fix your car, would you tell them what tools that they have to use and what tools that they cannot use?
No wrenches.
Excuse me? Yeah.
You can't use wrenches.
Yeah, you got the picture. The point is, the people who are teaching have studied what students need to learn to have a decent education. Now, admittedly, my area is in the sciences. So is somebody going to tell me you can't teach evolution? Excuse me? That's something out of the 1920s.
But that seems like where we are, Jack. It seems that is the goal, to move us backwards, and certainly in our public schools.
Yeah.
And again, I just go back to, parents already have all of these rights. I would love to know which school is saying, I don't care what you want me to call your kid, I've decided to call them Charlie.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I just don't think this is happening, unless I'm wrong.
And
maybe I'm way off. 844-967-2789. Enlighten me, please.
Well, I think the other thing too is that you set up a system that is bound to fail. So then you say, well, our other alternative are private schools, religious schools. They're funded by you. Send your kids to schools that work. And then those schools are held to almost no accountability. They don't have to protect the kids. They can throw the kids out whenever they want.
Yes.
It's a lot about getting these people money and getting them out of the public schools that they've maligned for decades.
And underfunded for decades.
Yeah. With this in mind.
Yeah. I firmly believe there is a concerted effort to kill public education in this country, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country.
No.
And that should be concerning for all of us, because as you said, the level of accountability for some of these charter and private schools, and then homeschooling.
Oh, there's no accountability.
There's almost no oversight.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
They can also do it with the app.
You can do it with the app.
It's free.
It's free, and it's very useful.
It's very pretty. Nice colors.
Join us. Stay close. We'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM, the fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike, Friday nights at 7 on the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15. With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matinair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. We're trying out nicknames for our producer, Kelvin. That was one of Johnny Watermelon's suggestions. Like, I kind of like Board Lord.
Liked it.
Kelvin, how you feeling? He's okay.
He gives a hearty thumbs up.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you ever want to call or text, you can leave a message on the live stream as well at Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
You never call anymore.
You never call anymore. We're talking about seems like we've been here before, a Republican-authored bill coming before the Wisconsin Assembly. Essentially is another parental bill of rights that bars staff from addressing kids by their chosen pronouns without parental permission. Parents have to be able to review instructional materials. I think they can already do that. Yeah. And have their child opt out of a lesson if they don't like what is being taught. I'm pretty sure they can do that already, too.
I think you have to show extenuating circumstances. I think it has to be like... You can't just be like, oh, my kid can't learn about the Civil War. Well, why not? I don't want them to. That's too bad. They're going to. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. If you have a strong religious objection to something, I understand that. But even still, there are certain things kids just need to learn. Math, history, science.
Not according to some parents.
Well, I disagree with those parents.
Texter from the 224 says, knowledge is power, which is dangerous.
Yes.
And I completely, completely agree with you. Tom from L.A. is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that means all of us. Something I don't understand about these right-wingers is, one, they say kids can't read. So they go and take books out that maybe they would want to read. They say kids don't know anything about history, but yet they want to take history out of the schools. So they can't have it both ways. I know they don't want an educated public, but yet when they don't get an educated public, they blame the teachers for not having an educated public. It's always the Republicans' idea is to say government's bad, government doesn't work. Let's defund it. Let's bring it down in price. And then let's say it doesn't work, because at that point, it doesn't work. And one other thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, I know I didn't realize this for a long time, and I think it's important, is that the way that schools are actually funded are by property taxes. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when you have an area where your property values are higher, you're going to pay a higher property tax and your school's going to get more and it's going to be a stronger school.
Sure.
Yeah.
With funding. Whereas if you have a lower, property tax base, you're not going to have as good or as much money going into that school as you do in the rich suburbs. So just something for people to think about. I mean, I think it's all crazy anyway. I don't think it should be done by property taxes. I think there should be more of an equity and equality. Some food for thought for people today is, they say how bad public education is, but then they defund it and they wonder why it is that it's not as good as it was once before.
Well, and thanks a lot, Tom. Really appreciate you calling and always appreciate you listening. They turn it into a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Underfunded, complain about the poor results, take that money away, put it into private education. And again, I am baffled by why is stupid better? Why don't we want...
It's easier to lead.
Why don't we want our kids to grow up with critical thinking skills?
Because it's easier to lead them when they don't ask questions, when they just accept whatever. They're going to just go the way you point. We've been like that for a long time.
I understand it has to be painful for parents whose children do not grow up to be carbon copies of them. I'm sure that's difficult.
Yeah. For some. I mean,
But I never thought the idea of having kids was to make sure they turn into little clones of you.
I don't think so. There's a couple of things. One, Tom brings up a point that we discussed some time ago too, which is the GOP is all about personal freedoms until it's not. And then it's, we're going to tell you what your kids can't, like, we're going to give you all the freedoms for your kids, but then you don't have the right to basic health care if you were a woman. It's a party of contradictions. But on the other point you just brought up, we are looking at, I don't think we're looking at parents who want a carbon copy of themselves as much as they just don't want their kids coming home asking questions that forces them to say to themselves, A, I don't know, because, you know, maybe we don't know everything about history. We're not taught everything. School is a short amount of time in your life. And then also, your kid might come home with an opinion that challenges your own, and you don't like that.
Yeah. We have time for one real quick call. Beverly from Richland Center. Good morning, Beverly. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, I wanted to just reinforce what you were talking about in terms of the right wing attacking education by defunding it, and they've been doing that for ages. But the other issue is both parties have been responsible for allowing politicians and non-education professionals to set policy. President Obama had the chance to appoint a phenomenal educational researcher to the Department of Education, and instead he chose Arne Duncan. And Arne Duncan did more to promote standardized testing and charter schools than anyone else, both of which have been horrible for teachers and students and school systems.
You sound like you were an educator, Beverly, at one time.
I was, and I was embedded in the education research literature in the 1980s and 1990s.
Well, thank you for being involved in education. I applaud our educators. I could never do what you guys do. And thank you so much for listening, Beverly. Really appreciate it. If you ever want to check in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can always leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. The education conversation will continue. We have news coming up next. And then our colleague from Civic Media, Jimmy Cuska, is going to be joining us from downtown Milwaukee, where the Wisconsin State Education Convention is going. I hope you'll stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle, 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Justice Department report on the Uvalde, Texas school massacre in 2022 uses the word failure a lot. failure by police leadership, failure in communication, failure in training. In a nation with more guns than people, attorney Josh Koskoff, representing 17 families of the 21 people killed, wants to know,
where's the government investigation on how this kid got this firepower? The other thing that happened is he ordered over 1,700 rounds of ammunition from an online ammo dealer. How could that happen? How could that happen? Where's the investigation into that?
No government shutdown this weekend. The Senate and House on Thursday approved the latest short-term funding measure, keeping the government's lights on through early March this time. Ending months of defiance, Hunter Biden agreed to give a private deposition to the House Oversight Committee set for February 28th. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans in the state assembly passed a bill Thursday to let parents decide what pronouns a child uses in school and whether or not they should learn controversial subjects. The Parental Bill of Rights would allow parents to opt their children out of any lessons about gender, sexual orientation, race, or other deemed controversial subjects. Democrats say the bill disrupts school protocols and is nothing more than censorship. If it makes it to Governor Evers' desk, he will almost certainly veto it. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. The Department of Workforce Development says Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate is near record low, 3.3%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, wind chill advisory of the overnight, as we'll see wind chills down around 20 below zero at times. Snow will come to an end, not much in the way of accumulation though, and our lows around 5 below zero. On Friday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies, high near 5 above. It's 6 at our studios.
The Todd Almost Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Almost Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance.
I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News talk for Homan on Alaska and of course lacrosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of lacrosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning.
Shane Matinier, Greg Bach, and Slide C on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. We're just throwing them out there.
But Board Lord is winning.
Board Lord is the one in the lead so far.
That's the best one so far.
If you ever want to join us, you can call or text 844-967-2789-844-96.
Party.
Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to be joined by our colleague, Jimmy Kuska, is with us, and he is in downtown Milwaukee at the 2024 Wisconsin State Education Convention. Good morning, Jimmy. How's it going? It sounds like it's busy down there.
It is very busy here in the Exhibitor Hall. I'm at the WASB Commons. I'm here as a school board member, but there's been a lot of excitement here the last couple of days. There's a lot of big topics in education, so I think people are very excited to get here, get over 400 school districts here to talk about it. It's been a lot of fun here in the first day plus.
I had no idea you were a member of a school board.
Yep, I was actually a write-in candidate. We had no candidates to get on the board, so I went to the school about 10 minutes before the deadline. I said, "Well, I'll do it." I got 13 write-in votes, and now I'm on a school board.
It's a really important thing to do, and I know you have kids, and it is important to get involved and see what's going on in your local school district, right?
Exactly, and that's kind of the reason why I kind of thought about doing this, you know, before. And when the opportunity presented itself, I'm like, well, you know, this gives me a chance to kind of, get to know my district. I've only been here a couple of years, get to know it, and maybe try to help make it a better place for my kids and all kids to go to school. So for me, it's been the last 2 years, a lot of things I've had to learn, but honestly, it makes me appreciate even more the work that educators and administrators and everybody involved do here in Wisconsin.
But without a doubt, especially our teachers, and we've talked about this before, the way we have demonized our teachers after Act 10 and all of that, it still breaks my heart. I applaud anyone who still has the fortitude to be in education, because we need you and we just don't treat you with the respect I don't think that you deserve. Anyway, school funding, Jimmy, is a big thing for everyone around Wisconsin. What are you hearing down there?
So I came into the convention knowing that there were a number of districts, because we've been doing this on the news side at Civic Media for weeks, talking about referenda going into place, and a lot of them are operational, that is, trying to keep the budgets balanced, and in a couple of cases, even just keep themselves going as a district. There were a couple last year where they said if they didn't pass it, they'd have to consolidate, and that is not good news if you're a taxpayer, because now all of a sudden travel increase, there's less options for school. There's a lot of bad things that come with consolidation. But one thing I've heard here, and I sat through a session yesterday on school finance and learned kind of where we're at after the last biennial budget was passed, is that they did a survey of the Business Officials Association here, Wisconsin WASBO, did a survey, and 36% or over 130, 38% over 130 districts responded saying they are considering going to an operational referendum this year. The record was in 2022, and we had 92 of those operational referenda. So now you're talking about, out of 421 districts in the state, about a quarter of them are thinking about going to an operational referendum, which means that if you're listening to this show, there's a 1 in 4 chance the district you're in is thinking about going to operational referenda if they're not already in one. And furthermore, there's already 10 questions for 7 districts on the ballot, largely in southeastern Wisconsin. The April election, they have to make these decisions by the middle of next week to get on that ballot. And I'm anecdotally hearing over 100 districts could be putting questions on the ballot.
Jeez, that's a lot of information to try to get to the people too, to understand, because let's face it, referendum questions can be confusing at best.
Extremely confusing.
And so people don't know what they're voting for, or what they're advising at least on. And the ultimate question is, how binding will they be if they pass or don't pass?
I can explain briefly the differences. Yes. Their operational referenda are used for paying your expenses, basically to balance your budget, paying your staff, keeping that stuff going. Facility referenda are the ones you think of. They're the ones that have the big price tag. Those are the ones that usually are 8 or even 9 figures, and they're designed to replace or renovate or build new facilities.
Yeah.
And those have the much bigger price tag. Operational, what they do is they raise the levy limit. So what the schools can ask taxpayers for every year on their taxes, the voters in your district say, yes, you can take more out of the levy. And that's what the operational part of it is. And that's the type we're going to see. And there are two types, just to break it down even further. There's recurring, which means it's a permanent increase, which reduces flexibility for districts. And there's non-recurring, which means after the end of whatever term, 3, 4, 5, 8 years, they have to go back to taxpayers hat in hand and say, we need another one of these to keep our operations going. Essentially, asking for an operational referendum is saying, we're not able to balance our budget, and now this is a permanent source of money for us.
Which just makes people upset then, because they're like, these schools can't get it together. Like, they just
they're always asking for more money.
I mean, it almost seems like if they're going to do it, a recurring system seems better, because then they'll get the help they need consistently.
It's a tougher sell for voters to know that their taxes are permanently increasing. And it also, if your district needs change, let's say your enrollment increases and you're able, because the only source of revenue you get is how many students you have. You can't charge admission or tuition to go into school, right? The only way you can get funded is through enrollment and through state aid. So so if your situation changes for the better, you don't have that flexibility to say, well, we didn't need all this money. We got it. You know, there's no flexibility in that. If you need to ask for more, people are going to be like, well, we already permanently did it once. We're going to further increase it. So there are upsides and downsides to both of these. I will say on the enrollment part of it, the way schools are funded, 71% of districts in the state are in declining enrollment, which I found to be extremely fascinating.
It's a problem. And it's a problem, unfortunately, that's going to continue because birth rates are down and have been down for a long time and are continuing in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, and also people moving out of the state. The state's population is declining. People are just not, you know, they're not excited about being in Wisconsin as much as they used to be. And that's a problem as well.
If you're just joining us, our colleague Jimmy Cuska is joining us. He is live in downtown Milwaukee from the 2024 Wisconsin State Education Convention, just talking about school funding. That is a big topic down there, and talking about the potential, unfortunately, for some districts to have to consolidate, which has to, Jimmy, really just crush some of our rural communities when that happens.
Well, you know, in Wisconsin, over half of all districts, 421 districts, over half of them are rural districts. So there's a lot of small districts around the state that are grappling with almost the same exact issue across the board. Not only declining enrollment, but after this year, there's no more federal COVID funding. The ESSER dollars, they're called ESSER dollars, they go away after this year. I know in my district, we actually backfilled our budget with the remaining dollars just to balance our budget. We don't have that mechanism next year. And a lot of districts are in our situation where you can't pull that lever and say, hey, we're able to fund our schools because we had this federal pandemic aid that doesn't exist after September.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And the economic impact of a small town losing its school, you know, and then consolidating and going to a school maybe 40 miles away, it's just got to be town crushing.
I would agree. Last cycle, there are only two that actually suggested that as a consequence. I don't know how many in this cycle will be that way.
Oh, he just froze.
I mean, what I was going to say to what you were just talking about, though, Jane, is the fact that, you know, when you live in the rural areas, we've talked to Dr. Lyerly about hospitals closing down those areas. I have to imagine when you're in the rural areas, I don't want to say you're used to it, but it's like, we get punished because we live here, whether you're a farmer or it's your family land. You take it and you take away from us all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, the economies don't stretch and squeeze like they do in a larger area where you have more of a economic base to absorb it. Losing a hospital or a school or any public service does have a massive impact in a smaller community.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely devastating.
Going back really quick to what we were talking about in the previous part of the show, we were talking about the parental bill of rights and having input on curriculum or pulling your kids out of curriculum if you don't like it. We did get a text from Andrew from Maine, one of our regular listeners. He wanted to know, Jimmy, as a school board member, do you get to review and provide input on curriculum?
So we, in our board, the boards are usually set up a little differently. Some boards like to review every single policy and have their thumb on everything, right? Some kind of delegate that to administrators. The vast majority fall in the middle. We're in the middle leaning towards our administrators are there to do their job, and we trust them to make a lot of those decisions. We, fortunately, in our district, haven't had these challenges, so.
You radicals.
You think teachers can teach?
Letting people who are educated in this topic to make those decisions. It's just out of left field, Jimmy. What are you talking about?
You communistic, socializing, pinko pig. How dare you?
I will share this with you guys. So we had Charles Franklin here from the Marquette University's law school poll, and he did a session yesterday afternoon, and I sat in on that. And what was interesting is that a third of the people that he polled believe that parents should be the ones in charge of school curriculum. However, if you combine all the different school board, administrators, teachers, that ended up being a slight majority. So if you're looking for a little faith in what people think about who should be in charge of that. It's still the majority of people believe it should be in the hands of schools.
You know what? Let's do it. Parents, if you think you should be in charge of the curriculum, full stop. It's not just, I don't want my kids learning this. You have to provide the lesson plans. You have to do the homework, correct the homework, do the tests. You have to do things like going outside and giving them physical education. You want to do the curriculum, you have to do all of it.
See, and this just says to me that we learned nothing from the pandemic when parents had to try and take over educating their children.
Yeah.
How'd those biology courses go for you?
Trigonometry?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
How was the trig class?
I couldn't even figure out 4K, so, you know, yeah. I'd be completely lost.
The little shape fits in every single hole.
It's confusing.
I still screw up on punctuation. Yeah. I don't want to be in control of that. I wouldn't trust myself. Jimmy Cuska is joining us from downtown Milwaukee, where the 2024 Wisconsin Education Convention is going on. Other than school funding, Jimmy, what are you hearing a lot about?
So I'm sitting in a lot of sessions dealing with school communication and marketing, basically, just to get the school stories out there. That's in my wheelhouse, obviously. You guys know what my job is. I work for a media company.
Right.
But school safety is at the forefront. There's actually a school safety seminar going on about 100 feet behind me. They have a room of people talking about school safety issues. And obviously, staffing and retention is a huge topic. There's a lot of HR seminars for administrators to go through and learn about good hiring practices. And really, again, for rural districts, how you're going to compete with suburban and urban districts that are able to pay more and have more in benefits, have more services in town. There's a lot of moving parts in education right now. A lot of that is kind of pulled into this convention. So as always, in the 3 days I'm here, I have to absorb a lot of information very quickly.
And that's something, too, that's very interesting. What you just said there, there's a lot of moving parts. These individuals, these parents who want to just cut things willy-nilly, tell you how to do your job, tell teachers and administrators how to do their job, really what they could probably learn from is a good class on the intricacies of how to run a school. Because I think if they did that, they'd walk away quickly and go, you know what?
I don't want to do this.
I can't do this. I can't, you know, it's harder than you will ever imagine. And the pay sucks. And there's no appreciation other than like when you retire. So like maybe those parents would do well with a little education.
I will say this. I know nothing about education going in. I've covered sports for years at the high school level. I've worked with ADs, administrators, coaches, teachers on these things. I will say that being part of the process in a school board, as a coach, just getting involved with the classroom, volunteering in my son's classroom, it gives you a much fresher perspective on all the issues that are going on. And it's all compounded by the fact that there are always changing laws in the legislature. There are some on the table even right now as we're talking in the floor session right now that are dealing with education. I know one of the big things that came up was the financial literacy is one part of it, but the new reading curriculum for younger students, $50 million allocated to that. And by far, overwhelmingly, people are worried that in other states where they've done this and succeeded, they had a lot more money. They don't feel like $50 million is nearly enough to accommodate for all the things that schools have to do now go with the statute and follow the law. So the legislature does complicate it a bit as well. Again, it's one of those moving parts. There's a lot that goes on in the world of education. And again, in 3 days, I try to learn as much as I can. And I'm happy to share all these ideas with everybody who's listening, of course. But I will say that if you're ever interested in these things, there are a number of resources you can check out. And as always, if you really want to know about what's going on in your school, go to a school board meeting.
Jimmy, can you stay with us for another segment?
I sure can.
Absolutely wonderful. Terrific. We will return. Cindy, I see you on the phone. If you have a question for Jimmy, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream. Stay close. We'll be right back. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, everybody. How we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. If you're listening in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR or Hayward, the buzz of the north, the WBZH, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Cool Hand Calvin coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We're joined by our colleague Jimmy Cuska, is attending the 2024 Wisconsin State Education Convention in downtown Milwaukee. And if you have a question for Jimmy as we talk about some of the things they're kicking around down there right now, you can give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton, thank you for hanging on. Cindy, what did you want to say?
Well, I have three things. First of all, is the state of Wisconsin trying to rid itself of all of its teachers completely? And number two is, obviously, this is a right-wing proposal. And number three, when this does, if it does, I hope it doesn't become a law, is it going to be only one parent can pick the curriculum, like only one person can get a book banned, or is this going to have to be like a 90% majority of parents or something like that?
Are you talking about the what we were talking about earlier, Cindy, the parental rights bill?
Yep.
I mean, they've Cindy, first of all, point two, yes, it is true that this is a right-wing agenda. But also, they've laid no deep-seated details into this. They just come out and say, here you go, and then they walk away and go, how do we do this? Not our problem.
Well, and ultimately, Cindy, too, it's Governor Evers vetoed a very similar bill already, yeah. So should this make it to his desk, it's very likely it's going to get vetoed anyway, but that doesn't stop him from throwing it out there. I guess you have to be able to go back to your constituents and say, see, we did try. We tried. And it was rejected by, you know, Governor Evers.
And what's the definition of crazy? There you go. So
thank you so much for listening, Cindy. Thank you so much for calling. You can always join us as well at 844-967-2789. What the school safety seminar, Jimmy, I know you're not at that, but I'm wondering what you're hearing. Are we still talking about arming our teachers?
I think a lot of it's dealing more with strategic planning. I know that there's been a push by the DOJ in Wisconsin that they have been trying to work with schools to come up with emergency action plans, having, you know, soft drills, getting kids just to know where to go, you know, during a drill, knowing not to talk, knowing not to be moving around the school. That's been a lot of the focus with this. It hasn't been so much, you know, like those hot button specific issues. It's more about preparation. One thing that has been really on the minds, I think, of administrators and educators, too, is just the mindfulness that these experiences could be traumatic. So they talk about mental health services tying into this, and that's its whole other own separate topic to discuss when it comes to school, and it's been a focus of conversation here as well. But that's really where the conversations have been as far as the schools here. And again, as you said, I'm not in the session that's going on behind me, but when I read through the synopsis of it, it's actually the same thing we're doing in my district in Boscobel, where we are putting together a plan, an emergency plan that hasn't been updated in 7 years. So we're going through updating it, making it so that, say, if you have a substitute teacher, you know, they come in, they have a thing they can open right up to, and it's like, okay, that's the plan. Yeah. I know what we're doing, right? So we're trying to make it more efficient with communication. We're trying to make it, repetition, making sure kids know exactly what to do in these situations. And that's when you talk about school safety, what they're talking about. Our district also, in its facility referendum, is upgrading the entrances to have more secure entries. Because right now, you can go into the school and you don't have to go through an office. And they're updating the entrances. So now you have to go into the office before you get to the rest of the school.
I mean, there's definitely safety precautions that need to be made. If I was a teacher, I'd be like, there's no way, you have to fire me. I would never carry a handgun or any sort of weapon on me if that was the case. But yeah, I mean, yes, absolutely. Certainly make security upgrades. I hate having to see metal detectors and whatnot in schools, but if that's the world we live in and it'll protect them, then.
I would rather see that than, again, arming our teachers. Yeah. I can't imagine what teacher would be up for that and want to embrace that.
Yeah.
Jimmy Cuska, sorry, Jim, go ahead.
I just want to follow up and say the number one thing I've heard as far as a safety recommendation is making sure your PA system is operating correctly. Yeah. That's been the number one recommended safety piece, to make sure you can communicate instantly, clearly, and directly to everybody in your school buildings.
The other thing I think that you mentioned, Jimmy, that's really critically important, and I've thought about this a lot. Again, I don't have kids, is the mental health aspect of putting our kids through these active gunman drills. And what that does to them. And I can't imagine having a kid in kindergarten go through this. What is it? Run, hide, fight.
Yeah.
Right? And how do you reassure your 5-year-old, your 6-year-old?
You can't.
Without screwing them up.
So I will speak as a parent of a 7 and 5-year-old who are in the school. In second grade and 4K, I can speak to that in saying that, the services they provide for it, I think in a lot of cases for kids that young, they don't fully understand this part of it. In fact, my oldest kid was talking during the drill, which was one of the things that got flagged, is the kids aren't really understanding the seriousness of this. And shocker, I know, my kid is a talker. I don't know where he gets it from. But, these are things that they work out through these drills, so that once you understand, this is the expectation when we have these, then they can move along. It's not this instant thing where we say, okay, this day we've had no prep for this, no information for this. We're dropping everything and we're doing this drill. We're going to pretend something is happening, right? That's not at all the case. A lot of the planning and the processing is mostly centered around communication. Believe it or not, schools sometimes struggle with communication. And in our district's case, we were very upfront about it. It was in newspapers. We had stuff on the website. And of course, the faculty, staff, teachers, everybody had in-person sessions and a lot of digital and printed material to help guide them through it. When you talk about school safety things, people think of those hot button things like you talked about,
sure,
having the metal detectors, having things in schools, but a lot of it comes down to layout of your building, the ability to communicate directly with people, and then preparing people gradually for some of those higher tension drills.
We only got about 90 seconds left. Jimmy, what is up for the rest of your afternoon?
So the rest of my afternoon is going to be focusing on learning a little bit more about the school funding pieces. Tomorrow, Governor Evers will address the General Assembly here. Jill Underley, the state superintendent, was here yesterday. So we're looking forward to seeing what is being done at a state level to talk about the issues in our state. Shocker, it's centering around legislation and around school funding.
Whoa.
Jimmy Cuska has been our guest. He is our colleague at Civic Media. Also a school board member. Good for you. I applaud you for doing that. And he's been updating us live from the 2024 Wisconsin State Education Convention, which is happening in downtown Milwaukee. Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And if you need a recap on the events, they'll be up on your Civic Media Station website throughout the week.
Sounds great. All right, news is coming up next. And then when we return, it's public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.